Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a hot, steamy day. I should just say night. On Thursday, 8 p.m., and you know what time it is. It's FSB Crew Showtime. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, along with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. And as always, we engage in conversation, give you information about the wonderful world of fantasy sports and politics. We have a great show in store for you tonight. We have two boxers. I'm saying two boxers. One, a male boxer, and another, a female boxer. One, a heavyweight, the number to call in, 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220. You also have a chat room that's available to you if you want to ask a question, make a statement, or a comment in the chat room. You can also do that. But I'm going to jump right into the show. I'm not even going to introduce my co-host because the simple fact is I do believe we have our guest sitting on hold here. I'm going to bring him in and start the show off. Caller from 240, I'm thinking this is Seth Mitchell. Am I right?
Yes, sir. What's going on, brother?
Hello there. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a professional boxer here called Mr. Seth Mitchell. And we want to welcome you to the show and thank you for spending some time with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Black.
All right, what's going on, Seth?
Not much, man. Not much, just relaxing. You know, enjoying myself, getting ready, you know, to get back into the gym.
Yeah, I understand you're on the layoff right now. Let's rehash the people on what happened on June 22nd. Up at the Barclays on the undercard of the Malignaggi and Broner card, you had a rematch with one Jonathan Banks. Tell the people how that fight went for you.
It went as I expected it to go, you know. I learned a lot from the first fight, and I just wanted to take my time. And to be honest, this fight was about getting the W. You know, if the knockout came, the knockout came, but I wasn't gonna rush anything. He's a good counterpuncher. He has a lot of experience and was setting a lot of traps for me out there. And I just wanted to stick to my game plan. And if he was gonna allow me to win this particular fight, stand on the outside and using my jab, you know, that's what I was gonna do. And my main objective was to get the W, and that's what I did. Stuck to the game plan. So I was happy with my performance. After watching the fight, obviously, you know, I saw some spots where I could have been more active. But, you know, in hindsight, you know, he's a great counterpuncher, and that's what he was waiting for me to do. So I got what I wanted, and that was the W.
Yeah, I remember talking to you at your media day out at the gym there. You were telling me, you looked me dead in the eye when I asked you what happened in the first fight. You told me through penalty, create your habit, and you definitely stuck to the game plan in the second one. I've been talking to a lot of guys in the boxing circles within the past week, and there are three particular names that they keep mentioning when I mention you, and they are Deontay Wilder, Chris Arreola, and Bryant Bye-Bye Jennings. Do you know anything about these three guys, and are any of these three guys a matchup that you look forward to in the future?
I know about all of the guys. You know, I think all of them, you know, can fight. Some of them have, you know, a little different styles. But, you know, it doesn't matter who I fight. You know, I'm going to be prepared. One thing about me, I don't call out names. People, they always seem to have my name in their mouth, though. All of them. Everybody always have my name in their mouth. You know what I mean? But I'm just going to continue to work hard, man. And whoever they put in front of me, I'll prepare for and I'll be ready for. I don't call nobody out. But it's funny to me how all of these heavyweights always have my name in their mouth.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. I understand that Deontay has a fight August 9th, which happens to be my birthday, so I'll check him out and see what's good. I'm not sure about Ariola and Jennings. I don't know if they have anything coming up on the horizon. But how long will your layoff be?
Hopefully not that long. You know, I believe this is 7 months, and before the last fight it was 6 months. Hopefully I can get back in there. If I had to say when I wanted to fight, it would be in October. I would love to fight in October, September, October, preferably October. But I'll be ready if it's September, October, but I definitely don't want it to be a long layoff. I should know, you know, within the next, I would say, week when I'll get back in the ring again, and I'll keep everybody posted.
Okay, is this something we can, the home fans can look forward to, fighting maybe at the convention center or maybe something abroad? Because we know you would go to.
That right there, I couldn't tell you. I have no, you know, way of knowing right now. Like I said, I love fighting here. You know, if I can get a fight here, that'd be good. But no one has told me yet whether it's going to be a fight here. If I had to bet on it, I probably would bet that it's not going to be here this next fight, though.
Okay, let me not hold all the questions. Let me let my co-host get in here for a little bit.
So,
Jeffrey, you got something?
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us tonight, and I'm rooting for you because boxing could use a few more good heavyweights because that division isn't what it used to be. But what made you decide to pursue boxing?
I was, you know, done with my football career, and I was actually, like, circulating my resume, trying to get a typical 9-to-5, and, you know, you probably heard the story before. I was watching The Contender, and then I believe it was, like, ESPN or something. They showed highlights of Tom Zbikowski and had his pro debut. It was on, I believe, the Cotto Melanagia undercard at Madison Square Garden, and because I played against Tom Zbikowski every year. He played for Notre Dame. We played against him every year, and that's the only reason, you know, I decided to box because I'm like, man, it's a collegiate athlete that I play against every year having success. I said, hell, if he can do it, I can do it. And from that day forward, I said, you know, I'm boxing. And I took it serious and I told my now wife that's what I wanted to do. And I just, you know, stuck to the game plan and pursued it. And here I am today. But if it wasn't for Tom Zbikowski, I probably wouldn't be boxing because I've watched boxing before and never thought about boxing at all.
Hey, Jeff, before you ask your next question, let me jump in here for one quick minute.
Go ahead.
Now, you decided to go into boxing, okay? So you get into the ring, whatever time frame you get into the ring, and what was your mindset when you got that first shot in your face?
Well, the first time I sparred, I decided to box. I believe it was in October, and I never got into the ring, but I started, like, you know, running miles and stuff like that and doing my abs because I was in Michigan at the time, and I was coming back to Maryland in December. And I went to the gym down here, and I trained for, like, 3 weeks, and then after 3 weeks, my manager and trainer, you know, wanted to see me spar, and I sparred a guy named Phil Brown. He was a heavyweight around here at the time. He was 6-0, and he was about 285 pounds, and we sparred, and, you know, both of us was banging. You know, he was catching me, and I was catching him, and he caught me with some hard shots, man. And on the way home, driving home, I was like, is this what I really want to get myself into? I mean, it was serious, man. It was unlike football. You know, I was used to banging in football, but it's a total different story.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I noticed you were with Golden Boy Productions. What's it like working with Oscar De La Hoya?
So far, so good, man. You know, a lot of people asking that question, and I don't have any complaints. I've been moved right. I've been with him my entire career. After my second fight, I signed with him, and, you know, they treat me well. You know, I'm getting on big cards, getting a lot of visibility, and I got to continue doing, you know, what I'm doing, and that's, you know, winning fights and continuing to put on exciting fights. But I don't have any complaints. 6.5 years, I got 28 fights. You know, a lot of I'm in a good position. I'm in a position where a lot of heavyweights will want to be.
Sounds good. You know, there was a long time ago, there was another football player who tried boxing. Now, a little before your time, he played for a black favorite team. His name was Ed Too Tall Jones. He played for the Dallas Cowboys. And he walked away from an NFL career to try his hand at boxing. You know, his boxing career didn't take off, so after a year he decided to go back to the Cowboys. But he got the last laugh because he learned a lot about working out from that year as a boxer. And he said that those type of workouts, he was able to play defensive line in the NFL into his late 30s. So it wasn't a loss. It actually helped him out in the long run. So.
Hey, Black.
Go ahead, Mark. I know you had some questions.
No, go ahead.
That wasn't a question for me, was it?
No, I just was bringing something up. But, I mean, like I said, it was a little before your time, but you never know.
Well, once I got into boxing, I heard about, you know, that was the name, that Too Tall Jones. I knew that he went from football to boxing.
Yeah, and the boxing workouts really helped out his football career when he went back to football. So the good workouts, I guess.
Yeah. There's definitely a different, you know, workout than football. Like, when I played football, we did, like, sprints. The longest distance I ran was 300, and now I'm running, you know, the longest I've ever ran was 8 miles, where I'm running, you know, 4 or 5 miles, you know, 3 or 4 days a week on a regular basis. So it's definitely a different workout.
We know that Klitschko was in attendance and congratulated you at your last fight. Did you guys exchange any other words besides the pleasantries?
I didn't exchange any words, but I think after the fight he came, you know, back in the dressing room. He was talking to Jonathan Banks, but I guess he was about to talk to Jonathan Banks. So I just, you know, shook his hand and took a picture with him. Other than that, you know, we didn't exchange any words.
Okay. And what's your thoughts now? We just saw this heavyweight match signed up, David Haye versus Tyson Fury, September 28th. What's your thoughts on this fight coming up here?
I think it's a good fight. I think, you know, both fighters have legitimate arguments on why they're going to win the fight. Obviously, Tyson Fury, because of his size, you know, 6'9", 250-plus pounds, and I don't think he's a, you know, a solid fighter. I think he can fight. A lot of, you know, other fighters, they talk about him and say that he's that, but I think he, you know, he has some skill there. But then David Haye, a big punch. I know he's a lot smaller, but I got a lot of respect for David Haye, too. He has a good punch. You know, he uses his legs well, and, you know, he can punch. So I think it's going to be a good fight. I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that Tyson Fury doesn't take the mic and start singing after the fight. This guy has a lot of crazy answers. I don't know if you caught the presser early, but the presser was funny.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw that as well.
All right, well, we'd like to thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate the time you gave us tonight.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
And I look forward to talking to you down the road, especially when your upcoming fight. If something is set up for October, you know I'll definitely be there for your media day.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot there, Seth. I really appreciate you coming on.
No problem. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Seth Mitchell. And before we get back into the show, let me play this commercial, and we'll be right back.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
And let me tell you, people, the last two shows have been pretty feisty between me and, to say the least, between Mac and myself. Mac's hung up on this Trayvon Martin case, and we've been going back and forth quite a bit about it, and I can guarantee you, tomorrow it will come up again. So call that number after 7 p.m., between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Friday night. If you're available, if you're free, and you'd like to get into some heated debate, call us, No Chaser, 347-637-3220, the same number that you're calling here and listening on now. And I can guarantee you it's going to be a interesting show, to say the least. All right, before our next guest comes in, let's talk about this, guys. Let's talk about this. I had talked to you about you guys earlier before the show started. Jay-Z, he's officially a certified Major League Baseball and NBA agent. And he's been reported to try to sign Robinson Cano, among other athletes, and now he's supposedly trying to get Yusel Puig, who happens to be a rookie phenom that plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he seems like Jay-Z is trying to grab all the headline grabbing, I shouldn't say headline grabbing, all the, all not all the stars, but a lot of stars or up-and-coming stars from under whatever agent he has now, or if they don't have an agent, he's trying to grab that and put him into Roc Nation. I'm going to talk to Black first and then Jeff about your thoughts on Jay-Z, Major League Baseball, and NBA agent.
He's already snatched up my boy Kevin Durant. I'm looking to see if he's going to snatch the recently freed Monte Ellis, who just sat with a good friend of mine, Jeff Freed, and their company. So we'll see what Jay-Z does. He's looking to make an impact, and he's definitely doing it right now. I'm still curious to see, because I still haven't read any reports if he's dropped his take in the Brooklyn Nets yet. Because I don't think you're allowed to have a stake in the team and be an eight. I haven't heard any reports that he sold any shares or anything like that. But he's definitely doing the job. I know that the well-established agents are probably pissed that he's in the game now, but he's definitely making them up.
Jeff.
You know, Black took my point because Jay-Z does own a small piece of the Nets. It might be 1-2%. But that does seem like a conflict of interest to co-own an NBA team and to be an agent. But the other agents, I think, are scared of Jay-Z because I think he's got more to offer than just contract negotiation. Yeah, he's got connections with, merchandising, endorsements, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's the appeal of Jay-Z. And he seems like, I don't know that much about Jay-Z. I mean, he has good taste in ladies, but he is supposed to be a very good businessman because he's not the first rapper to try his hand at being an agent. And a guy who wasn't very successful was Master P, who did Ricky Williams' first contract, and he really screwed Ricky Williams. But I don't think Jay-Z is that type. So I'll tell you, though, Jay-Z, I think, really appeals to the players a lot more than just some suit and tie guy. So who knows? You never know. I could see other agents reaching out to maybe someone like Jay-Z who has that kind of street credibility to help them get clients. It wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Let's stay on the NBA tip right now and talk about one of my favorite subjects. I wouldn't say one of my favorite subjects, but probably one of the NBA's biggest biggest little big man. Let me put it that way. Guy that's got it's big in stature, but small in heart, and very indecisive. Even though he did make his mind up and decided to go to the Houston Rockets, talking about Dwight Howard making the move from the L.A. Lakers, and from what I understand, this is the first time in L.A. Lakers history that a big man has left the Lakers and went to another team. Your thoughts, guys, on Dwight Howard making the move from the L.A. Lakers to the Houston Rockets, and if he's going to flourish under Kevin McHale. Jeff, and then Black.
You know, yeah, Dwight is quite a character. You know, you call him a man-child, you know. And, you know, not everybody is cut out to play in a place like L.A. or New York. I mean, this used to be a problem with the Yankees. They pay big bucks to guys who just weren't cut out to play in New York. And it used to happen a lot. And then for a long time when, you know, before George Steinbrenner settled down, when he was out of control, free agents, they'd come to New York, they'd have a sit down, they'd go out to dinner, they'd get a great offer, and they'd have no intention of ever signing with the Yanks, and they'd take that offer and just find someone to match it. Because playing in the major markets like New York and L.A. is very unique, and, you know, just that's not for Dwight. I think Orlando was perfect for him. It was a smaller market, friendly media. He's not a bum. He did want to win. I don't know if he wanted to win championships, but, you know, he did want to win. I mean, people say he's a bum. It's like, no, the guy used to play for the Nets, Benoit Benjamin, that guy was a bum. You know what I mean? or Eddie Curry, who played for the Knicks, that guy's a bum. Dwight's a head case, you know. But the thing is, I mean, Houston isn't a media center like New York or L.A., but that's still a big city. That's a very big city. That's, I think, in the top 10, maybe even in the top 5 in America in population. You know, it's not going to be like Orlando. But, you know, if Blake gets off on the good foot over there, I mean, and they do have some talent around him, who knows? It could be a good place for him. But, yeah, and then it, you know, makes you wonder what's going to happen with the Lakers. But, you know, this isn't, I mean, it's still the Lakers. It's still purple and gold. But, you know, Jerry Buss passed away. You know, there's no more Jerry West as GM. You know, there's no Phil Jackson. Kobe towards the end of his career. So it's still the Lakers, but it's going to be a new look Lakers. And who knows? They might have some down years. Who knows?
Right. Black, talk to me. What do you think about Mr. Howard going to Houston?
Well, Houston is currently constructed. If they could find a way to convince Asik to stay, because as soon as Asik heard about this move, he said he wanted out. If they could find a way to keep him there, I think the Houston is very strong in the West with the way the team is currently constructed. But if Asik wants out, they got to get some pieces for Asik if they do move him. He'll flourish under Kevin McHale. McHale has to learn some moves from McHale, because the West is very, very competitive. A couple of big men out there, not too many. But Dwight's going to have to get up and down with James Harden and those guys. Lynn, I think Lynn's talking about being moved as well. So this is not the final Houston team that we see right now constructed on paper, but a couple of more moves, and I think Houston will be fine. There's two building blocks to build around, Howard, James Harden. Houston will be fine going forward. As far as Joker touched on with the Lakers, Lakers just signed Chris Kaman. They also signed Nick Young. Nothing to really wows you. I think the Lakers are just really setting up for 2014 when everything comes off the books except Kobe. Be about $50 million in cap room. LeBron expected to be a free agent, might touch the market. Carmelo might touch the market. Both guys rumored to go to L.A., but, you know, who knows what happens.
Okay. Well, we have a caller. I think I do believe I know who this caller is, so we bring her in. Caller from the 240, welcome to the FSB Cruise Show. Is this Macau?
What's up, man? It is a sad day in L.A., Slim. Sad day in L.A. You got one Bama that don't want to be there, you know, half-ass in, half-ass out, playing hokey-pokey with Florida, then L.A., and now he out there in Houston. And then you got my man, I can't believe Chris Paul signed that contract. Unbelievable. Unreal. But Howard, he is not a bump, but he's still a little boy. You know what I'm saying? He's still a little boy. He's a big little boy. Maybe Harden can take some of that, you know, take some of that carry from him. You know what I'm saying? But I hope he's not going down there thinking he is the man, because he's not. He is not. A move like this, I mean, I get it. You know, you do it once or whatever to get up out of there, but twice? Really? Something is up with this dude, man. But at the same time, you know, L.A. is due, you know, we do for a downtime. You know what I'm saying? We do for that. We got to rebuild. We got to come back. Kobe on his last leg. You know what I'm saying? 2014.
Your amnesty made a world peace as well.
Uh-huh. Right.
I think y'all can just tank the season, go ahead and see if you can get Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker to start over.
Yeah, they're gonna have to start over. They're gonna have to start over. And I ain't with this whole LeBron coming to LA thing. I ain't buying that. I am not buying that. I think he's gonna stay down there in Miami. I think he likes the structure down there. I think the structure is much better for him. Even with Dwayne Wade on his last leg or whatever, you know, they could probably find somebody to compliment them some more, or, you know, draft somebody young, or they could do something. But as far as next year, though, they still the team to beat.
Okay. Well, I'm staying with the NBA for now, and I'm going to Ohio. We're going to be talking about he basically took the last year off because of his supposedly chronic knee problems, and I think he had a couple of knee operations last year, and it, basically, in my opinion, he was a total bust in Philly. But apparently he still has some market value because he's going to be reunited, which is unbelievable to me, with Mike Brown in Cleveland. I'm talking about Andrew Bynum, another big man that's got issues, that's going to play for a coach that he played for in L.A., if I'm not mistaken. And now they're going to be reunited in Cleveland. Your thoughts on I'm going to go right down the line here. Jeff, McCall, and Black on Andrew Bynum going to Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, for one, the Cavaliers, and then reunited again with Mike Brown. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, can't remember the last time Cleveland made a noteworthy free agent signing, and Philly looked awful on the Bynum deal. You know, I mean, aren't they supposed to look at a guy's knees before a trade? I wonder if L.A. tried to get him back. But, you know, it just, if you look at this contract, I mean, it's got a lot of incentives from what I heard. And if he's healthy, this could be a good spot for him. You know, who knows? So, yeah, last year was, did he play a game last year? I think he was out the whole entire season.
No, he took the whole year off, basically.
And he's from Jersey. I mean, Philly was kind of like a homecoming because Philly is close to Jersey. It was maybe about an hour away from where he went to high school, but it didn't work out that way. But who knows? If the knees are healthy and he's happy, he could revive his career in Cleveland. So worth taking a shot for Cleveland, I guess. Big men are hard to find.
Talk to me, Macau.
I got to clear my throat. Reunited, and I'm not impressed. No. I mean, how you going to go? I mean, they still. This team is still rebounding or trying to recover from the decision. And I like Kyrie, you know what I'm saying? And if I'm not mistaken, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Cleveland has had two number ones since the decision. Is that correct?
Yes, Macau, I hate to interrupt you, but we do, I think, have our second guest on the line. I want to bring this caller in and have her so we can talk to her. Caller from 347, this happens to be Heather the Heat Hardy.
Hi, how are you?
Excuse me?
I said hi, how are you?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, she hails from the great state or the great city of New York, particularly Brooklyn. She's a Brooklyn native, born and raised, and she happens to be a female boxer. Her pro record is 5-0, and they nicknamed her the Heat. I want to welcome you, Heather, to our show. Welcome, people. Heather, the Heat Hardy.
Thank you so much for having me.
How you doing there, Heather?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I know that you're from Brooklyn, okay? And it tells me that you have a degree in criminal justice. Am I right about that?
It's forensic psychology.
Oh, forensic psychology, okay.
Yeah, I went to John Jay College.
Yes, I see that in your bio. Yeah, and you also train in Gleason's gym. Now, tell me, you're born. I see the year you were born, and you're the age of one of my sons. Okay. And
okay.
Tell me how a woman like you got into professional boxing.
I kind of just fell into it. My daughter was about 4 years old, and they opened this little kickboxing gym where I live. So
right.
I stopped in and was taking, like, the cardio classes, you know, where they put the radio on, everybody dancing around with the gloves. And then one of the girls from in there competed in kickboxing, and she said, oh, you want to try to have a fight? So I was about 28 or 27 years old, and from 3 weeks from when I had the gloves on my hand the first time, I had my first fight, and I won, and it was like the best feeling in the world. So you just can't get me out of the ring since then.
Okay, now you have a daughter. I guess she's about 4 or 5 years old now. Am I right about that?
No, she's going to be 9. She was about
9,
four,
okay.
When,
oh, boy.
Five,
okay.
When
so tell yeah. me how your daughter feels about mommy boxing.
Oh, she is real sweet, my kid. It's just something that's normal to her growing up. It's the only thing she knows. So her mom is a fighter. It's just like the next guy's mom is a teacher or a cop or you know, a firefighter or anything else.
Okay. So you started training at Gleason's gym. How did you decide Gleason's gym is where you wanted to train and actually get into pro boxing? I mean, did somebody had to take you under their wing or what?
I went to Gleason's because I started in kickboxing, and I knew Devon, who is my coach now. Him and his sister were kickboxers, and they trained there at the gym. And I mean, everybody knows that if you want to make something in boxing and fighting, you want to really take it serious, you go to Gleason's. So I went
right
in there one morning. It was like 6 o'clock, and I met Bruce at the door, and he said, how can I help your girl? And I said, I said, I want to compete, and I want to beat everybody in the world. So he brought me into Devon and Alicia's office, and I'm so glad he did, because it changed my life. I went from just having fun in the ring to winning, you know, within 11 months, I had won a national title along with 7 other titles as an amateur. So.
Okay. So you walk into this gym. You talked to Bruce Silverglade, who was the owner of the gym, and
right.
You say you want to be a boxer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You get into the ring, and there's an opponent in front of you, or even if you're sparring. Tell me, because I already asked this about one boxer. I want to ask, have you answer the same thing? How did you feel, or what was your mindset when you got that first punch in your face?
It's I guess the first thing I feel like when I get hit is hitting somebody back. So as soon as I get hit, it's like all bets are off. I stop thinking about boxing and moving around and everything I learned. And it's like the natural you comes over, the fight that you have inside comes over. You are just practice and train and work hard on making things look good so that when the natural you comes out, it comes out right.
Okay. It says here that you hold several titles. You won the, in 2011, you won the Metro Regional title, USA Boxing title in the same year. Last year, you won the Golden Gloves featherweight title, and
right.
Your overall record, amateur record, is 16-5. And excuse me.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, and you made your debut in your home city, in
right.
New York City, and
right.
Well, tell me how that your first fight. Now, this is your first pro fight.
Right.
So it's got to be butterflies flying around because you're this is a pro fight versus the amateur. Tell
right.
me how it felt getting into the ring, and then after the four round unanimous decision, how did you feel?
It felt so good. I mean, my biggest concern when I turned pro, the difference is that in the amateurs, you know, you wear the headgear, and it was more like you were. In the pros, you have no headgear, and you have smaller gloves. So for me, I was so concerned about my aim, about hitting a smaller target with a smaller hand, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
So the adjustment to that, like, was super hard in the first round. And in the first round of my pro debut, I got dropped by a right hand. And it's kind of like I said, you know, when you get hit, the first thing you think of is hitting back. So I stopped thinking about aiming for this girl's head and just started thinking about beating her up, so you
okay.
know. So I just fought, and made her fight every second of the rest of that match, and I pulled out the win. And after, it was like, all right, you know, it was an experience. I won, but now I know what I got to do. Not worry about aiming for someone's head and just hit them in the face. So
okay. All right, I'm gonna give you. I have a chance for my co-host to ask you some questions. Black?
Yeah, June 24th, you found a Cassie Truss. What can you tell us about her?
I don't know very much about him. My coach is the one who does all the research, and he had just tell me, just train like I tell you to train, and don't ask me nothing. So that's really how we are. I don't worry too much about sitting home, and I don't think I've ever really seen even a YouTube video on one girl that I fought before. My coach does all that. But from what he told me, she was an MMA fighter. She's a professional MMA fighter, professional boxer, professional kickboxer. But I don't worry so much about who's in front of me because I work so hard that I always get in the ring. And even when I'm sparring with world champions, I feel ready for them.
And this fight is also in New York, right?
It's in New York, yeah. We're doing 6 rounds at Roseland Ballroom.
Okay. And now I understand also that while you're fighting, there's a documentary being filmed about you called Hardy. Can you tell the people a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. It's a great film. It's still in production now. it's about my life and what I go through in my personal life and in my career and how I juggle the both with being a professional athlete. But it's also got the other story about women in boxing and how there's such a difference and what goes on behind the scenes for women and how difficult it is for us, you know. So it's really exciting. I can't wait to see it when it's done.
Is there any timetable to when it gets in, or is there something like a project towards the end of the year or maybe next year?
Yeah, I mean, we should be filming for the next, like, month or so, and then by the time it's edited and everything is set, they're expecting sometime in December for it to be released.
Okay, and I understand the film's director is Natasha Verma?
Yeah, she's awesome, this girl. She is so talented.
Okay, Black, that is for you, or you want me to go to Jeff or what?
Yeah, I don't want to hog all the questions. You know, I like to share.
Okay, Jeff?
Yeah, hi, this is Jeff, the Joker. I'm one of the co-hosts. Thanks for joining
hi,
us.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm from the New York area, so I've heard about Gleason's gym. Have you worked out with anybody famous at Gleason's?
You mean except me?
Right, right. Like, other people. Yeah, other famous people. Right.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't really, when I go to the gym, I teach or I work out, so I don't really worry about that. But, I mean, Hector Roca has been one of my coaches for a while. I spar with some of the great female world champions like Alicia Ashley, Amanda and Cindy Serrano, Melissa Hernandez, and I've gotten in the ring with them, and I feel like I'm fighting famous people because to me, they're the girls that I look up to. So
if I
think about really famous people, sure. I mean, there are musicians and actors and actresses that come in the gym and they train, but when they're training, they don't really look like musicians and actors and actresses. They just like look like sweaty normal people who can't really fight. So. To me, there's real famous people. I mean, I've seen Mike Tyson in the gym. He came in, took a few pictures with me before one of his, when he was doing that thing on Broadway.
Right.
And, but yeah, we get a lot of people into that at Gleason's. And half the time, that people are like, do you know who that was? And I'm like, who?
how did you get hooked up with Lou DeBella?
Say that again?
I said, how did you get hooked up with Lou DeBella's camp?
I was really fortunate because, like I said, I train at the gym and I work at the gym. I'm a trainer there. So I know all the other trainers. Everybody in Gleason knows who I am. Like, I volunteer for USA Boxing. I'm just, like, real active at the gym. It's like my second home. And one of the guys, his name is Blimp, who is a coach there, his son was fighting for Lou and getting ready to fight. And he knew after I won the Golden Gloves that I wanted to turn pro. And it's so hard for a female to get on a card, especially when nobody knows who you are. But I had won the Nationals, and I had won, like, a string of other titles. I won the Golden Gloves. So when Blimp told them who I was, you know, told them everything I did, and they were like, he was like, listen, this girl, she can sell a lot of tickets, and she can really fight, and I see her in the gym. And he spoke for me, and I'll always remember him for that. So for that reason, we said, I'll sell a ton of tickets for you. Just give me a shot. And they gave me a shot, and I fought hard. So I fought like it was one of the best fights of the night. They actually gave my pro debut. One place gave it like the 2012 round of the year last year. So they were so impressed, they just kept inviting me back, and that they eventually signed me to a contract.
That's a good story. We had Ava Knight Saliga. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but we've had her on the show. She definitely tells us about the struggle of females.
Yeah.
She has to fight all her fights in Mexico. Basically,
right.
We have an audience out there. So we definitely understand the struggle. Hopefully, there's something that can be done where all you guys can get the proper shine that you deserve.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. Thank you.
All right, Mikal, you got something for Heather?
Yeah, I got something. How you doing? My name is Mikal.
Hi.
What I want to know is, are you, are you a student? Are you a student of your craft? And also, who is who is one of the fighters that you you study or that you enjoy watching?
I'm definitely a student of the craft. I mean, something my culture always tell me is that when I like, am my own personal physical trainer. Like, I do all my conditioning training and my cardio training and everything myself before I even hit the boxing gym. And when I go to the gym, it's like being at school. You know, some days I won't even sweat when I have my lesson. I will just listen to what my coach tells me, letting me understand certain things. Some days I would just be in the gym watching the other pro fighters and watching them spar and watching them do. So I get a lot of what I know from what I see at Gleason's, and I'm so fortunate to be around such talented people and talented coaches that are also willing to help me.
And who's your favorite boxer or fighter?
Besides me? I like
yes, definitely New York.
Besides
you.
Yeah. There are other fighters besides me. What do you mean? No, I like different fighters for different things. Like, I love the way Canelo Alvarez punches. He is my favorite puncher on the planet. I love to watch Roy Jones Jr. I love watching his fights. But my favorite fighter in the whole world is Mike Tyson. I want to be the female Mike Tyson. I want to fight like him. I want to punch people, and they know I punch them.
Mm-hmm.
And when is your next fight going to take place?
It's July 24th, so it's about 2 weeks away.
And that's in the Roseland Ballroom, you said, right?
Yep, in New York City.
Okay. Yeah, I know what that is.
You making your way down, Master, to get some tickets?
Mm-hmm. That I got a question for you. Besides you fighting in that night, is there a full card of fighters in that card?
There's a full card. I'm the only female on the card. But Yuri Foreman made his comeback about two fights ago, and we have been fighting on the same cards every time they come around. So Yuri is going to be the main event for that night. He's also from Greece, and we train side by side almost every day.
Okay. Anybody else have anything for Heather?
That should be a good card. Do you know who Yuri's fighting?
I'm not sure. Some boy.
Oh boy.
you mentioned Canelo. What's your thoughts on this upcoming matchup with Canelo and Great Floyd Mayweather?
Oh, I certainly don't want to be disrespectful because they're both really talented fighters. But I think he's just too slow and Mayweather is just too slick. I think that Mayweather is just too smart and experienced of a fighter. There's something to say about when one boxer just knows more than the other boxer. It don't really matter how good you are when the other guy just knows more things than you know. You know, like something my coach always says is like, he is 55. And he's in the ring almost every single day, beating the crap out of all these younger kids. And he's like 120 pounds, this tiny little thing. And he beats up everybody, but not because he's better or because he trains more, because he just knows how to do things better, because he's been around longer. So I think that speaks a lot to how this fight's going to turn out.
Okay. With that being said, I'm going to go around the horn. Jeff? Macau, Black, do you have any more for Heather?
That's it. She answered that Mayweather question. I'm good.
Well, Heather, I'm going to say in about close to 10 days from now, you're going to be in the ring, and I want to wish you good luck. And hopefully you come out with a unblemished record and become 6-0 instead of 5-0 that you are now. And,
of course.
And,
thank you so much.
And also come out healthy. That's a big key.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate you coming back on the show in the near future, see what you'd be up to maybe by near the end of the year when your documentary comes out. How's that sound?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll catch you maybe around, like I said, when your documentary comes out. How's that sound?
Sounds good. All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, Heather, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, ladies and gents, that was Heather Heat Headley, Hardy, from Brooklyn, New York. Pro record 5-0, and she's going to be fighting at the Roseland Ballroom in New York City on July 24th
against Cassie Trost.
Yeah, and she also has to die. You know, I'm interested to see this documentary come out and to see what it's all about. So we'll have to wait and see with that. Now, getting back to what I was talking about before, and I think McCall had the floor, about Mr. Andrew Bynum in Cleveland reunited with Mr. Mike Brown. McCall.
I'm just not impressed with this. I mean, all due respect to Cleveland, but like I said, they still recovering from the decision, man. They still trying. LeBron gave them a serious uppercut that they still haven't got up from.
Okay. Black.
It depends on the health of Mr. Bynum. If Mr. Bynum is healthy, you got a Deion Waiters in, if he's healthy, Kyrie Irving manages to stay healthy, then Cleveland could be a surprise team in the East.
Yeah,
and you throw in those draft picks they had as well. Don't Mike Brown is coming back home. Don't count them out just yet. It could be a surprise team, especially if Bynum is healthy.
I got to clear my throat. Somebody's got to win.
Clear your throat, man. Clear your throat.
Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. And I think Cleveland's going to keep losing.
Yeah, let me put it this way. You know, when Andrew Bynum was playing for the Lakers with Phil Jackson and Kobe Bryant, you never knew what Andrew Bynum you were going to get. A half-ass motivated Andrew Bynum, or one that just showed up and took up space on the floor and did nothing. And didn't help Mike Brown when he was there. So I don't understand why Cleveland decided to bring Andrew Bynum and reunite him with Mike Brown and think this is a good move. For the simple reason is, if there's one big man that lacks motivation, that lacks drive, it's Andrew Bynum. Now, he sat out for a year.
Come on.
Maybe he rekindled that fire that every NBA player or every professional athlete is supposed to have. But I doubt it, because most people are creatures of habit, and if you are used to doing some things over and over, or not doing some things over and over, like Andrew Bynum, and playing basketball hard, I don't think he's going to do that for Mike Brown. I don't think he's going to do that for the Cleveland Cavaliers organization. I think this is a great Odin without the injuries. But I think it's just going to be a bust. It's just going to be a waste of money and time and aggravation and just another time for Mike Brown to get fired again from Cleveland Cavaliers. It makes no sense for me, for one, for Mike Brown to even go back to Cleveland, and for two, Andrew Bynum to be reunited with Mike Brown. That makes absolutely no sense to me. And just like McCall says, I think they're going to do the same thing over and over. Keep losing. Ever since LeBron left there, it's just got that mindset of a losing organization, and that's very hard to shake once you get it. Anybody got opinions on what I just said?
I agree 100%.
Yes,
okay.
So it is hard to disagree, but you know, it just goes to show you that there's such a serious shortage of big men that guys like Bynum can still make a lot of money. It's just certain in pro sports, certain things are in demand. And in the NBA, if you're a big man with a pulse, somebody's going to give you a lot of money. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, that's true. And unfortunately, once I heard this, I just shook my damn head and saying, you got to be kidding me. You got Andrew Bynum?
Shake your damn head. I mean, they had the number one pick in Anthony Bennett. You already know Kyrie Irving is a budding superstar. They have Deion Waiters there. You got Tristan Thompson, the 6'9 forward, is also there. Tyler Zeller. Boobie Gibson is a free agent. Who knows if he'll re-sign? I know Omar Cassidy now for free agent, so he's signed with the Houston Rockets. There's a couple of young guys that can do something.
Okay. Well, I mean, they have a couple. But, you know,
I understand what you're saying.
But just look at this. Look at this for a minute. Andrew Bynum. I think he can, I wouldn't say wreck a team, but he can be a cancer in the team because the attitude he projects is in my opinion, a very negative attitude. And that can permeate throughout the team and damage Mike Brown in being able to coach the team. Why even bring that to you? I mean, Mike Brown's experienced this before, so why even bring that attitude and that laissez-faire about Andrew Bynum to a team that you're trying to turn the corner away from the decision of LeBron James? This has all the recipe of a step back versus a step forward. I don't know what to say. With that being said, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go to Macau first to promote his show. And I'm surprised, Macau, let me put it this way. I haven't heard from you in about 2 weeks. Where have you been? It's been at least 2 weeks.
It's summertime, man. We chilling. We trying to, you know, get some more information. You know, I'm about to go out on a boat with another young lady. I'm trying to get some more, you know, juicy stories and stuff to tell. You know, gotta relax and gotta chill and gotta get some more, man. Because I mean, we went like what, 3 years strong. You know, I'm tired. I'm tired.
Okay.
I'm tired. No, but we'll be back. We'll be back next week. We'll be back this Tuesday, you know, and we'll discuss the Trayvon Martin situation and a couple of other things that's going on. But check us out each and every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Grown Soul and Real Talk right here at Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio /GSRT. Or you can check us out on Facebook where the conversation never stops. And that address is facebook.com/grownsoul.
Okay. And before I go to my two co-hosts, if you have some time available tomorrow night between 7 and 8, it'll be some lively conversation because it's been lively in the last 2 weeks, especially about what you've been mentioned, the Trayvon Martin case. It'd be very interesting to jump in the conversation with Mac, which I've been
No. I'd rather go take and bust my head up against a brick wall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. with that being said, I want to give it to Jeff first and then Black so we can get the heck out of here.
Okay. This is a slightly off subject, but to any listeners, it happened twice during the show. It usually just happened once, and that's the sounds of sirens coming from my apartment. It just so happens I live near the EMT center, and that's why. Because it never fails. I mean, this was like as soon as the show starts, I live right by the ambulance center, you know, because, you know, I live in Passaic in you know, New Jersey, and, you know, sometimes some little kid will fall off his bike and skin his knee, and they send the ambulance just to be careful. So I'm 99% of the time, I'm the one with the sirens in the background, but it's not as bad as it sounds.
Okay. Black.
Oh, man, I'd like to send out a special appreciation to our guest tonight, Seth Mitchell. Also, Heather Hardy. I got to give a big, big shout-out to Lauren Shavakin, part of Seth Mitchell's media team. He was the one that hooked these interviews up for me. Lauren, appreciate you, man, always. I'll see you at the next media event that you guys have for Seth. And that being said, we can close out the show.
All right. I want to thank all you guys for taking part today. And like I said, like Black said, I want to echo it. Appreciate the two guests, Seth Mitchell and Heather Hardy, from for joining us tonight. And with that being said, tune in next week, same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this Thursday. And with all that being said, you guys have a good weekend, and we're out.
Yeah. Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.